Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 78, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries, and now fuck Fox News, two of our esteemed advertisers. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack 70s Show Brian, starring Miles Kunis and Topher Gray. As courtesy of at just TDZAKS, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Flamin' Stoudemire's rookie card, a.k.a. Grayson Kidd's rookie card, a.k.a. Jerry Brat House's rookie card. Thank you to Christy Yamaguchi, man, for that one. Listening to what I was saying I was talking about how my mother was trying to throw away my rookie cards, and he listened and made them into AKs.
You know, comedy is all about listening.
It really is.
That's what I learned from Christy Yamaguchi, man.
Always listening.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and returning guest, Amy Miller.
Hi, guys. Nice to see you again.
Oh,
hello,
nice to see
fans.
You again.
It's great to see you.
Wonderful Daily Zeitgeist fans.
Yeah, they're nice people.
Who'd have thought?
This is the first time that we've had you back since you appeared on. One of my favorite episodes of Punch Up the Jam, talking about the B-52s.
Yes.
You're a big fan of Love Shack.
Yeah, it's my favorite song.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to listen to the episode to find out why.
It's the most definitive favorite song I've ever heard. You're just like, yeah, it's my favorite song. Like,
hell yeah.
That was so fun. Very polarizing, though. People just hate that song.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, it's a story. It's for a lot of reasons. I think people are just annoyed by it, and when something gets into like popular wedding song territory, then people hate. But
right.
It's like, yeah, but it's fun to hear every single time. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a reason it's my favorite song.
You can go to
Punch Up the Jam. I've really been loving their Unpunchable Jams playlist.
Oh,
do you
so
listen
good.
To that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, it's like. Except for some idiot put on Who Let the Dogs Out, but otherwise, and I'm not sure what comedian that was, but
right.
Otherwise, that playlist is so good.
Who did let the dogs out? Who?
It was a Baja Man.
That song, yeah. Flamingo, is one of my favorite songs that I've found out about in recent months.
Yeah,
that song is a jam. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about BO, box office, BAFO BO,
BAFO.
Or not so BAFO BO. 2019 thus far is on the worst trajectory since 2013. Which isn't good because of inflation. So it's very bad. We're going to talk about what's coming to save Hollywood's ass. We're going to talk about the Bernie town hall on Fox News. We're going to talk about the young women in Congress who are just owning conservatives with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the White House's and White House staff just being a little bit nervous about what that Mueller report is actually going to say about them in particular. And we're going to talk about how to make teens eat more healthy. But first, Amy, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I did search all the places that Guy Fieri ate in Chico, California.
Okay.
Because that is how boring that place is. And I was like, they have a beautiful park, but I was there this weekend for a comedy festival, and I needed things to do, and then I just, like, went on, like, a solo eating tour of, like, Guy Fieri's favorite spots there.
Has he been to that many places in Chico?
Well, he went kind of recently, I think, after they had the fires as, like, let's throw some support Chico, some support Chico's way,
and
which is nice. He's
and he
a nice
felt
guy.
Responsible for... Or he felt like he had to compensate because of how many flames he wears on his shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
probably started it.
Well, I feel partially responsible for just with my general...
He loves fire and heat.
Yeah. What did you find out? Did you find a good place?
I went to this bakery. Guy Fieri went to this bakery called Upper Crust in Chico, California. It was super good. Got like a few little things to share, but maybe one of the best macarons I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good
what flavor?
Carrot cake.
Of macaroni.
Chai.
Oh, shit.
It was delicious.
Chai macaroni.
Yeah.
I had a Thai iced tea one a few weeks ago. That blew my wig off.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. The texture is just like nothing. No other food. It's so good.
Because what is this, almond flour and just, like, sugar
so chewy, turned into a, you know?
I mean, I do associate guy with French cooking, so that does make sense. Or Guy Fieri.
Yes.
As it's traditional.
I'm sorry,
pronounced.
It's almond powder or almond. Ground almond.
Oh, okay. What is something you think is overrated, Amy?
Showing a picture of your baby on the internet when it just came out. Listen, I love babies, okay? I'm not like a baby hater. Yeah, I absolutely adore all children and babies. I'm very maternal. Not taking advantage of it. But I think, like, give it a couple days. Like, if your newborn baby photo looks like it's still a fetus, like, let's just... Yeah. Like, if your baby's Instagram photo looks like a Christian Wright billboard, because it's like, let's just wait. Like, send it to grandma, of course, like, oh my God.
For public viewing.
Right. Yeah.
Let the blood circulate a little bit, harassing the entire circulatory system.
Let their head pop back into its accurate shape, into a head shape.
If there's still veins in his face, you can just wait a couple of days.
Yeah, send it to the people who can't wait, but for the rest of us, we can wait. We'll wait until your baby's cute again.
Because I don't want to start off on the wrong foot with your baby.
Right.
And being like, just dismissive of it. Like, you already seen this little mouse, newborn mouse,
thin-skinned
freak.
Look, it's still coated by my insides.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm good.
Check out baby's first muconium.
Right. Oh, muconium
God bless.
No fun.
I really am becoming one of those people who would do a stand-up bit about, like, I'm going through my Instagram feed. And everything's babies. I don't know if you guys, I don't know how age
it.
You are.
Yeah. Right?
No, I love it. And then part of me starts to get tired of it because it's actually like all of my friends and people I know are just coming. Like, it's all happening in this last 2 years.
We're that age. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, my feed has just changed completely.
Babies and dogs. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I also, my friends who are having babies, like, I have to remember, too, that, like, this is the thing that they have. This sounds so shitty, but I'm like, you know, some of us have other accomplishments that get a lot of likes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a television appearance. No, I'm just being an asshole.
Oh, I wish you had just gone on for 5 minutes, like a television appearance or, like, a great sold-out stand-up show. No, it's true. I mean, to the point that, as a parent, I feel selfish if I post a picture that doesn't involve my kids. I'm like, here, Sarah, throw me Ramsey so I can get him in the picture.
Wait, when do you post pictures?
No, I never do.
I was about
I'm
to
just
say.
Saying, but like, if
wait, does he just go, no, I'm just saying. Wait, that's not even true.
Exactly, because I can't always get Ramsey in the picture.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I have like 20 in my, you know,
in
saved
drafts?
Pictures. My drafts.
Your drafts is all
draft
what pictures you want to post
of me
to
looking
kids.
Cool, but without my kids.
Yeah, if you don't have, like, yeah, I love babies and dogs. Keep them coming. I love the pics, but yeah, if you don't have, like, titties or, like, a picture with a celebrity, like, baby is your thing. You got to get those, like... Like endorphins. Like,
that's
you know,
true.
It works on our brains. It's been proven.
Titties. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's true. I mean,
a baby is your titty. And I get it.
It's true. I mean, babies are a form of pornography to a certain viewer. So
I'll always click like on a baby or a dog.
Yeah,
love it.
You gotta
love
the baby photos.
Just not in the first week.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little jarring.
I'll give it a thumbs down.
You just go in the comments, you're like, this is actually a thumbs down for me.
Just a comment with a thumbs down emoji. Yeah.
Like, please
would
post
be
again
amazing.
Next week. Thank
that would
you.
Just be an amazing response to a newborn baby. Just
thumbs
a blanket
down
response every time you see a newborn baby.
Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
I'm gonna try it.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think also internet related. Underrated to just not respond. You don't have to respond to everything with all of your feelings and thoughts all of the time.
Mm.
Just, you can, I mean, I'm a comedian on the internet, so right. I want people to know. Again, you guys have really nice fans, so whatever. I mean, keep replying. Follow me, Amy Miller, whatever. I just, you know, sometimes a thing is just a joke.
Right.
And you can just be like, I enjoyed that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll retweet it.
Did something happen recently?
I don't need...
Brought you here?
I tweeted this like thing about a kid I saw at Target that I ended up on some like parenting message boards or something, And so it just like blew up, and just a number of people that are like either attacking me because they think I'm criticizing parenting or telling me their trauma too, which I'm like, fuck, like, I'm sorry that happened to you.
I'm just making jokes.
I'm just making a joke. It was just a funny story that like became this whole thing. And I just want people to know that it's okay to say nothing.
Yeah.
Any of the time.
Sometimes people's egos, though, don't allow people to have the last word. And people don't realize the power you give away when you insist on engaging or trying to rationalize or justify something you said.
Yeah. I couldn't even keep up with all of it. It was so wild. And then parents arguing with each other in the comments, and I was just like, I don't know. This was just a
keep
fun
that shit
story.
On
off a tweet?
Guys.
Yeah.
Damn.
So you tweeted something about a kid, and parents were like, that is offensive to me as a parent because I kid has parents and I too am a parent.
What did you tweet? What was it? Just let me hear it.
I saw this little girl at Target who like got in trouble, and her mom, this is all it was. Her mom was like, all right, no more Happy Meal. And she lost it. And it was hilarious. By the way,
it was hilarious that she lost her Happy Meal.
Yeah. Right. Just to clarify, she did not appear to be autistic or special needs of any kind, which I think that I know because I worked with autistic kids for a long time. Again, that's another thing people
you can't diagnose. You're not an expert.
Yeah.
Right.
But I saw a lot of their interactions. She just was three, and she had a tantrum. But then she, like, calmed down very suddenly and then, like, looked at her mom super seriously and was like, let me earn it back.
Oh, shit.
Like, and that was the tweet was like, how funny is that? And then people lost their goddamn minds.
That's so adorable.
Minds.
That is
very cute.
Every kid, like, will have a complete meltdown. Like, every three-year-old kid will meltdown for the strangest reasons.
Yes, we all know if you've been around kids ever. And then there are all these people that just said, like, you made this story up. I'm like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I do have that kind of time.
Right. Like, what would kill right now?
Yeah.
Also, I mean,
in a way, my fiction
that's actually
you.
A testament to that parent's parenting because they've created a situation where the child said, okay, I'm running at a loss now.
Oh, yeah.
No, seriously.
How do I address this deficit?
The mom was rad. Like, we had a nice chuckle with each other about it because it was so funny. And like, yeah, she was great. I think she handled it great. Yes.
That is amazing.
It was a really funny scene.
Let me earn it back.
The fact that anyone would object to that at all is just, I question their mental stability.
Well, then, yes. And then a lot of people just disclosed their own abuse to me. And I was like, I'm really sorry.
Right.
And why is this the time?
Right.
Wait, what their parents did to them?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant they were like,
you can just say nothing. That's
right.
That's
agreed.
My lesson.
As somebody who never posts on Instagram, I agree. You don't ever have to say anything. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, 'tis the season for this myth, because I've been hearing a lot of stuff about how prolonged sun exposure could be bad for you, but I fully disagree, and I think you should just get out there and bake yourself, sit in that sun, it feels good, we're all going to be dead soon, we have a lot of feelings, like, just, you know what, it's like saying, like, oh, drinking's bad for you. Okay. Why do I feel good when I do it?
Right, right.
I'm actually a better driver when I do it, so what about that?
It's been a long, rainy year in L.A. for some reason. Just get out there. Don't put sunscreen on. Bake yourself in the sun.
Bake yourself in the sun. Take binoculars. Look directly into the sun, too.
It feels nice.
Yeah.
It makes you happy. I don't know.
Comedians specifically
all die from like suicide and drugs. I would be the first one that was like specifically skin cancer. Right.
They're like, she died how she lived in the sun for too long.
Is it specifically LA where that is such an enormous deal? Because I don't know. I've lived here for like the past 8-10 years. Like when I grew up, I was constantly super tan brag.
Yeah.
But just because, like, I never wore sunscreen, I'm dark complected. But, like, I feel like if my son got that tan and I brought him around LA, people would be calling Child Protective Services on him because, like, you're not allowed to let, like, it's not okay to have your kids out in the sun.
I mean, we do live in a desert. Yeah. Nobody ever put sunscreen on me as a kid.
My parents missed that fucking note.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was outside with, like, fucking 18 hours a day.
Yeah. And it's really like talking about parenting, it's like a big deal in parenting that you like never let your child out without tons of sunscreen on.
Well, see, and then my parents were operating on that myth where they're like, well, you know, he's half black, so he's got that melanin, so he's not going to get sunburn or sun damage. And then, like, I remember, like, my friend who became a nurse was like, that's not true.
No,
like,
it's
you can
not.
Very well get burned. I was like, but my whole life, my dad said it was karma for white people, for slavery. What?
I mean, and obviously I'm joking a little bit, but I do, I mean.
You're saying there's benefit to being outdoors and letting that sun just
hug
you.
There's a weird thing here, too, where people just, like, truly don't want to age, and I think that's a big part of it.
Oh, not
oh, yeah.
putting the sunscreen on because they don't want to age.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
or putting on the
sun.
Crazy parasol with hat plus
yeah.
gloves.
Wearing the
yeah.
umbrella
yes.
around.
Yeah, yeah, that umbrella
big straw hat.
Yeah. Like a yeah, PE teacher would wear.
Yeah,
yeah, but
there's
like,
that like Australian hat that comes down to your shoulders. Like it's like all over.
Just oh, really?
Giant. Yeah, have you seen those?
Like a beekeeper?
Yeah, it's kind of like a beekeeper. I feel like...
Like it's got a bit of a neck flap back
right,
there?
Yeah, it's
all
like
right.
one big neck flap all,
right,
all the way around.
Sounds pretty good.
And
I
it's probably not Australian, but that's who I associate it with.
I did have a minor skin cancer a couple years ago.
Oh, no.
Okay. It's all fine now.
I'm about to come back to you. Hey, full disclosure, minor...
No, yep. I mean, obviously, like, take care of yourself.
Well,
but
I'm glad you busted that myth for us.
A little bit of exposure every once in a while is fine.
Well, we're okay. The one city I did notice, like, growing up in the weather forecast, especially in the morning news, a lot of the times they would say, and your time to cook is 18 minutes today or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And that was the thing when I would travel, I picked, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a very LA thing because people are out in the sun, like, trying
oh.
to get it. And they'd be like, you can only fuck around for this long before you need to get right and screen up.
That was a
yeah.
thing that
yeah.
they reported.
Fox 11 News, Good Day LA.
That is
you know,
crazy.
Back when Jillian Barbary was doing the weather, used to
oh,
always say
yeah.
that.
Huh. Oh, that's hilarious.
Time to cook.
Yeah.
I mean, you can smoke a cigarette every once in a while. You know what I mean? It's just like live your
yeah.
life. We're all gonna die really soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa. You were locked eyes with
specifically
me
you,
said
Jack.
That.
she just mouthed.
We're all gonna
7 days.
Seven
fucking days.
Well, speaking of The Ring, let's talk about movies, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The box office is in a slump.
Yeah,
it's the worst since 2013.
That's
the
right.
Rest
kid.
Of the world does not give a shit. But I guess Hellboy had a pretty bad opening weekend. No,
just
this
like
past
$11 million.
Yeah, which is bad, I guess. But
well,
through
bad,
yeah, I mean that looked like an expensive movie. And through Sunday, revenue at North American box offices was estimated at $2.74 billion, which is the lowest since 2013. So people are kind of looking forward to wonder if this is going to change. And so,
yeah.
Miles, well, you put together a list.
Well, just because last year, 2018 was like the big. It set a record.
Yeah, set
right?
a record, and I mean, that's with inflation,
yeah.
so,
and they
know.
Say in this same corridor, as they call it, of like this, you know, box office period, we had like Black Panther coming out and things like that. They're 18% behind last year right now.
Yeah.
So, when you look at everything that has happened in 2018, globally was $41.7 billion,
right.
Is what these films made. They're like, okay, well, we still have shit coming round the bend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only April.
Right. But I guess when you think right now, we're already 4 months in and we're 20% behind, that's when like the number crunch is like, oh boy. But now listen to what is coming though. Just from Disney, right? In this calendar year, we will see the upcoming Avengers movie. That's guaranteed money.
Yes.
The Lion King.
Yes.
Guaranteed mm-hmm. money. Frozen 2. Guaranteed money.
Oh, yeah.
Toy Story 4. Guaranteed money. And Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah.
I think those fucking films, what was that, five films alone?
It's
that
insane.
might help write everything already.
Yeah. Those are all guaranteed hits. And then you were like, that's just from Disney. Look at this list from other studios.
Right.
And none of them are a sure thing. So it's like Disney just has they just fucking know what they're doing, man.
Well,
it's
they
really
have all the intellectual property that like is the money making shit. And they basically now control over a quarter of the market.
That's
in terms of the studio, which
wild.
Is like, do we want to take a look at that?
So the other stuff that we have coming up, Godzilla, King of Monsters, which
I'm
you showed
see
me the latest trailer for that. That looks pretty wild.
As a Japanese person, I have
no,
to.
We
though.
Know you're.
I have to respect. Gojira!
Secret Life of Pets 2, Fast and Furious spinoff Hobbs and Shaw, which seems like it should be a sure thing because it's Fast and Furious, but I don't know. Those aren't the most interesting characters or like
oh.
they're...
But The Rock always makes money, especially internationally.
But his last couple movies. So he had Baywatch, which didn't do well. He had the Towering Inferno remake.
Skyscraper.
And then he had Rampage, which did amazing overseas, but didn't do that well in the United States. So we might be suffering Rock fatigue in domestic box office.
Not at my house.
But anyways, and I just feel like Fast and the Furious is about cars, and neither of those guys are like particularly associated with the cars or living life one quarter mile at a time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, you got, if it's not a Fast and Furious proper film, it's a spinoff, you know, let me just crunch a little numbers, inflation. Okay, I would say 30% less than what a normal Fast and Furious would do.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, 20 to 30.
Just off some quick maths.
Men in Black International, who knows? Spider-Man Far From Home. Seems like probably a sure thing. Yeah. Is it with Liam Neeson?
Yeah, Liam Neeson's in that Men in Black movie, and he does not like black men.
He like, I'm here to get the man that's black. And you're like, whoa. No. Men in Black. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, I mean, Men in Black 3 didn't do that great, even though it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think the
girls in
they
it.
Gradually did less well from the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Spider-Man Far From Home. Actually, Men in Black 2, I think, was a monster hit, but it wasn't that
good. It wasn't as good as the first one.
So people just didn't tune in for 3, which ended up really completing the cycle, guys. check out Men in Black 3 if you haven't. Spider-Man Far From Home, that'll probably be hit pretty hard, but it's not as sure a thing as any of the movies on the Disney list.
Right.
And then we got Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Jumanji 2, which should both be like solid, I guess.
Yeah, Tarantino usually does well. That and that Brad Pitt Leo on screen thing, that's gonna drive some butts
that Tarantino
to the seats.
Movie's gonna crash.
And then Jumanji, I just felt again another Rock movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the first one did really well, so I would say, you know, let me just quick do a little quick math to carry the two plus a spider with a monkey, and then I would say about 15% less than the first one.
Jumanji?
Yeah, that's my definition.
That's actually
probably okay, good.
Accurate.
Thank you for checking.
No, my math actually checked
adds up to
out.
The same thing. Yep. Okay, good. Yeah.
I'm going to see all those movies.
There you go.
Is there anyone that we've said that you're like, I'm not interested in anything?
Actually, I don't really see comic book movies.
Okay, yeah.
So
Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, I don't care.
I will see the shit out of Toy Story 4.
Oh, yeah, I can't
got
wait.
Fucked. I was drunk at Toy Story 3. I tell my friend,
sobbing.
I was like, yo, let's get shit face and go see Toy Story, man.
You sounded like you were already drunk when you
said
that.
Yeah, I was.
You should not drink anymore,
Miles. Well, I was trying to stealth pretend like I wasn't drunk. He's like, yo, you fucked up. I'm like, yeah, but let's go to El Torito real quick, and they get the margarita, and then we're going to see Story 3, and it's just sick. And when they were going in that fucking, okay, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Toy Story 3.
Oh, man.
When they were in that incinerator and their motherfucker's face was bubbling from the heat, I was like,
so
fucked up.
What would have happened? They just, nothing.
Just turned to fucking just trash, turned to, baby.
Yeah.
There's
no,
a full
no afterlife.
Toy Holocaust in the fourth movie, I've heard.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh. Man, you had me fucked up. See, I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm like, no. Really?
Hopefully it's less sad than the third one. But yeah, I'm going to see the shit out of that.
I mean, so we wrote a thing back at Cracked about after Toy Story 2, we were like, wait, so the afterlife of these toys is they probably just like get dumped in a like landfill somewhere and live out existence like pinned like face to face with like a rotting banana peel. And like they're just like constantly aware of that and can't move for the rest of their lives.
And like the other
and
microbes.
Then Toy Story 3 was like, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, huh? Let's talk about that. Let's dig into that. Anyways.
The executive producer's like, I think it can't end in the incinerator. I think we should try and figure out. I know it's cheesy, but some kind of Deus Ex Machina thing to get him out of the bind.
I heard John Lasseter comes back to just give all the toys a creepy massage.
Yeah, there's a fan theory that they actually do die in the incinerator, and all this is just a figment of their imagination.
Aww.
So keep that in mind.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And the Bernie Town Hall happened on Fox News a couple days ago. And it was, I don't know, Bernie... seemed to, you know, have an answer for everything because he only has like 10 answers. It's like he has his 10 talking points. He sticks to them.
And he's good at them.
He's good at them, man.
And he came up against the idiots at Fox News. This backfired so spectacularly for Fox News.
Right.
Like, I was screaming with delight because they were using the most one-dimensional arguments to try and take down his more like nuanced ideas.
You'd think it would be easy to like trip him up because he only he's like so simple and has like such a, you know, the same talking points, the same like viewpoints every time. But it's like, it's such a simple belief set that it can apply to everything, it seems like. And they just were not ready for it.
I mean, I think it's just, it's the populism angle to it is just sort of like, he's not speaking in blue or red. It's always framed in like,
the people.
What about the people? What about these rich people?
Yeah.
And then to the end, like Fox News, the only thing they were trying to do is be like, oh, you're a millionaire.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, and I would pay more taxes.
Right.
And they're like, fuck. Like, that's how, that was the back and forth.
We didn't think he was going to have answers.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. I mean, it wasn't because Fox News just doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. But like, to see them really just try and have these really lame rebuttals to policy ideas he had that were going to get just destroyed and dismantled by him, it was really like they thought, oh man, we're going to get him. When he talks about like, you know, paying for Medicare for all, we're going to be like, how are you going to do that? And then he's going to be like, oh shit, I don't know. What the fuck? He had an answer for everything.
Yeah, he's been saying the same thing the whole time. Right. That's interesting.
And he's so rehearsed on all of this. It's like, yo, you gotta actually do some thinking here. You got to dig a little bit deeper than trying to be like, oh, well, isn't that socialism, though?
But Fox News are not the ones.
No.
They're not the ones to trip somebody up like that. Yeah. Like, they're not going to come up with a new angle on anything. But the president, Donald Trump, weighed in to say, so weird to watch crazy Bernie on Fox News. Not surprisingly, Bret Baier and the, quote, audience was so smiley and nice. So he's implying that Fox News is in the tank for Bernie Sanders and the left?
Yeah.
I think
that's...
I mean, I would imagine that he wouldn't want them giving him any time at all.
Yeah, no, he clearly didn't. And I think we were all, like, a little bit surprised at... It did come off like an infomercial for Sanders 2020, but not because they wanted it to. It was just because they had the two people up there who were trying to trip him up and just like flailing cartoonishly at it.
Martha McCallum, like, I thought was going to like call him names at a certain point. She was getting so frustrated with how like matter of fact he was being at like just responding to their lame shit.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I mean, knowing how close Fox and Trump are, I'm sure at some point they're like, look, we're going to have him on. He's like, yeah, but you gotta make him look bad.
Yeah.
It's got to be a disaster for him. And they're like, oh, don't you worry.
We're going to ask him.
We got this motherfucker. Cut to them like sobbing.
Yeah. So, I mean, a poll came out like 3 days ago, I think, that put Sanders ahead of Biden as like by, I think, a pretty clear margin, like 4 percentage points or something. So not like a comfortable margin, but it wasn't like by 1 percentage point.
There's a big margin for that group,
I think. Yeah. But it was like Sanders 27, Biden 23, and then the next closest was Buttigieg at 9%. So it's like those two are way out in front. And then he had the highest viewership of any town hall, because Fox has done these town halls and CNN has done some town halls, but he had 2.6 million viewers. Kamala was the previous high at 1.95 million. So
People are curious. Yeah. They're Bernie curious.
Yeah. And you know what? Fuck. It's like, I know Tom Perez is like, we're not coming on Fox News. The Democrats aren't. We're not going to have a debate on Fox News.
Yeah.
Yo, after this, you might want to.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, I think also, too, like, I get the sort of hyper partisan aspect where they're like, no, you guys always fuck with us. Like, we can't trust you as a network or whatever. But if it was like this, where you can go up and merely just have some, you know, like lightweight journalists try and take down your nuanced political ideas, then maybe you should do it. Because now everybody's trying to do it. Eric Swalwell has been like, yeah, I'm open to doing it. And people are like, no, we don't. Thank you, but no thank you. Tim Ryan has also mentioned it. And Pete Buttigieg is also, before even the Bernie town hall happened, was saying he was in talks to do something with Fox.
Yeah, I think he's probably another person who could handle it. Like,
yeah, because he's not, every time they tried to be like, hey, give us a hot take on Biden, which is the subtext of a question,
right,
he'd be like, I know what you're trying to do, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, do you believe in a woman's right to have an abortion up until the moment of birth?
Right.
And he's like, hold on.
Yeah.
No. Right. And those are the moments where they were like, fuck, it's like he knew that these questions were
right.
lame-ass leading gotcha questions. Yeah.
You said nuanced, and I feel like that's the difference between Sanders and, you know, AOC and Ilhan Omar, is that it's like they have very simple and clear ideas
right,
that
yeah.
they just, like, always come back to, whereas, like, a lot of Democrats, like, Buttigieg is, like, always threading a needle,
right.
and but, like, Bernie and AOC and Ilhan Omar are, like, they seem like they're very clear down the middle, like, this is what we think, and it's not, like, a tricky, nuanced thing, which is probably what people are responding to. I think a lot of conservatives are like, America is not a socialist nation. How could this possibly be happening with this younger generation? It's like, no, I mean, just look at the people who kids are responding to.
Right.
It's like they... it's pretty clear why they would be responding
well,
to that.
Well, and Fox and just the conservative media machine at large is just obsessed with AOC, Ilhan Omar,
yeah.
Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, everybody,
mm-hmm.
everybody, especially like a lot of these new members of Congress. And, you know, I think the problem is the game has kind of changed since like AOC and Ilhan Omar, a lot of these newer progressives that are coming in, because they're not doing the usual agreed to decorum that was on the Hill of like, yo,
right.
don't come with like super hot truth takes.
Right.
Like, let's kind of keep it, you know, sort of bubbling at the surface and go dig too deep and make people look up at the 1% as the root of things.
Yes.
And now as they are more just like, no, it's because of this, you want a solution for this, it's this. A solution for this, it's this. Before, the conservative sort of rhetorical strategy has just been to like take down ideas from the left with just like anecdotal evidence or identity politics, or are there some superficial rebuttal to like a real problem? So if it was like climate change, they're saying like, oh, well, windmills cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay. What about rights for trans people? Oh, they're evil.
Right.
But with no solution offered. What about
right.
the rising cost of healthcare? Oh, are you welfare queen? No solution. And
yeah.
you have these people coming out who are saying, this is how I solve this. This is how I solve this. This is how I solve this.
Yeah.
And now they are just completely, you know, I think a lot of the takes from Fox come from the perspective of an unaffected person of means.
Right.
Where it's easy to be dismissive. Oh, people want cheaper healthcare, but that's going to be socialism.
Right.
But the gap between these politicians and the pundits and the voter is becoming so wide that these rebuttals that they have are just not resonating anymore. Because they're not,
right.
these people can't relate on an experiential level to saying like, oh, yeah, I can be dismissive about people wanting, like, affordable health care. No, the fact is many people, left or right, they're suffering under the same system.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're starting to see. And now all they have is because they've had all this lazy, like, rhetorical arguments, they're left without any real ammo for this, like, new era of debate and talking points.
Yeah.
That all they can do is be like, oh, Ilhan Omar's a terrorist.
Yeah.
And AOC is a socialist.
Yeah.
And that's that. Like, where are
And
your...
those are the same thing.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
yeah.
yeah, it just seems like this is how all politicians should be talking, is just,
yes.
you know, it's a sort of truth-telling that, you know, makes other political doublespeak, like, kind of lays it bare a little bit, where you're like, oh, yeah, why are they talking like
Because
that?
If someone hits you with that just blunt, unadulterated, raw, uncut truth...
Yeah.
And you follow that up with some like humming and hawing that we're used to hearing. When you put those, when you juxtapose those two things, you're going to be like, yo, that other answer was bullshit.
Right.
This person just straight up told me what the fucking problem was.
And I feel like Buttigieg is kind of, even though he threads the needle like politically a little bit, when he answers a question,
it's very direct.
You know what he means. He's not, you know where he stands and you know like why he believes what he believes.
Yeah. I think that's why, like, you know, clearly the right does not know how to deal with this kind of talk.
Right.
So, you know what? If you want to keep it up, then we need to keep bringing in the truth. Because
yeah.
it seems like that's the one thing. Like, they literally can't handle someone just chest-passing the truth right back to them when they're like, what about this? And they're like, mm-mm.
Right.
But, so keep it up.
Man, did you see AOC's shoes that one time, though? I mean, in that bag.
I know. I thought she was a poor waitress.
Right.
Like, how the fuck are you going to be on Fox if you're also
that
working the service industry, hear someone be so flippant like that and be like, yeah, wait.
What?
No.
I'm a waitress.
Yeah. Or server. But they say waitress. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, all of this socialism stuff is making me uncomfortable. Let's get back to the Mueller report.
Uh-oh.
That's safe ground. So the Mueller report is coming out, I think, tomorrow in its redacted form. And there was an article that described White House aides as being on breakdown level anxiety, which is wild. And it's not because they think like Trump is going to get hauled away in handcuffs. It's because everybody was talking shit and telling on everybody else for a number of months before Giuliani came and was like, you know, this is the mob, shut the fuck up, or, you know,
right,
it's going to look bad for you.
Because there's like two eras of Trump's legal defense. Trump's former lawyers, who actually acknowledged that there were laws, were saying, yeah, cooperate with the investigation. Don't obstruct or, you know, be deceptive in any way.
Right.
Then Rudy comes in, and we all saw what the fuck was going on. We remember that era because that's been the most entertaining era in news, where he was like a fucking just drunk snake dipped in motor oil who lied all the time.
Truth
and you couldn't
is not
get a
truth.
Hand on him.
No, truth is not truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facts are not facts. What was it again?
Facts aren't facts.
Facts aren't facts, yeah.
And he said some others.
The facts
there
aren't
so
facts
many,
era
yeah.
of American political discourse.
And I think now people are really just so confused. This is another quote they have from this article. You have a whole bunch of former White House officials and current White House officials, but especially former White House officials who were told to cooperate. So people went and did that, and now the uncertainty is just how much of that information is going to be in that report and how identifiable to individuals is it going to be. And nobody knows.
Hmm.
The irony, right? Like, you go to work for this person. Like, I really don't, I don't feel bad. You
right.
you don't have to work
oh,
in
no.
this administration. But now that it's a point where you try to do something like lawful, tell the truth to someone who's doing an investigation, and now you're afraid that you told the truth.
Yeah.
Is the environment that you live in.
Yeah. Sean
because,
Spicer somewhere just sitting in a puddle of his own flop sweat, just
oh, yeah.
shoveling packs of gum into his mouth.
Oh my God. It's just, yeah, and part of me is just like, yeah, that, how's that feel?
Yep.
How does that feel? And now there are even people who are so, like, so nervous because there are still people who work in the White House and they're like, if this one fact about this thing comes out, it could only have been me that fact came from.
Right.
So now they're like, the lawyers and some of these officials have been reaching out directly to the Department of Justice and be like, hey, so are any of the names, like, will those be redacted?
Right.
Or, like, is that will the public report, like, make it obvious who shared certain details with?
Yeah.
So it is a fucking mess. But who knows? We might also get 300 fucking pages of black, like, blacked out shit.
It'll be multicolored.
Blackout oh, right,
shit.
Yeah, for the
right.
four categories.
It's going to be
but again,
color-coded.
We just don't know.
We just don't
know. We don't
know
what's in there, but we might find out something.
Yeah, might. We'll see. I'm not feeling overly confident, but we will see. It is interesting that the Department of Justice is just like crickets when they ask like what they're going to reveal. But
I mean,
I'm sure it's probably pretty busy at the DOJ right now, is there? Getting ready to release this.
Oh, yeah. And also all the congressional staffers right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're going to try and digest that in, like, 2 seconds. So, like, everybody's just preparing for Thursday being like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, are we ready? Is everybody ready to comb through this fucking thing? Hopefully there's enough information that it won't just take 2 seconds to be like, yo, this is a 300-page blacked out flip book.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Did the Star report, like, name names? Do you know? I didn't read it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Star report was so juicy.
Right. It was juicy in terms of like what happened.
Nothing left out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they left names.
It was
in.
A mess.
Yeah. They were like, this is Chelsea
mean,
told us this.
Yeah. The T report.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The T report.
That's what that was.
Thrilling time.
And I don't know how about this one will be. It might just be the redacted T report. So maybe very little T.
It's funny to remember reading that and picture like teenagers trying to read the Mueller report tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that probably is not going to happen, right?
Yeah. I doubt there's going to be any blowjob scenes in the Mueller report.
God, could you imagine? Look, we just don't know, though.
We don't know,
so we
man.
Can hold out for that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
too
keep
bad
an eye
we didn't
out.
Have Linda Tripp in this White House.
I know.
Oh.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And guys, teens.
What are they?
What are they?
Who are they?
What does that word mean?
What are they like?
No, so a new study from researchers at University of Texas and University of Chicago, Hook'em Horns and Hook'em
Italian Chicago's. Beef sandwiches?
Yeah, there you go.
Or Harold's wings?
They found a way to inoculate teens from eating fast food, possibly, maybe. Mm.
What's the secret?
It's Photoshop. It's a Photoshop contest premise that we did at Cracked.
Okay, yeah, I like how when you were reading this, you jumped to say you already did this study.
I did this study.
Okay, well, let me explain to people who might not be familiar with the study you had already performed. Essentially, they found a way to get teens to eat healthier by making them feel rebellious.
Right.
So the things they found in this experiment, so they, during what they call the intervention, where they just present these kids with information, the intervention produced an enduring change in both boys and girls' immediate gut-level emotional reactions to junk food marketing messages. And teenage boys, when it came to giving up junk food, started making healthier drink and food choices in their school cafeteria almost immediately.
So basically, they read an article that framed corporations as being manipulative with their marketing and like making junk food as addictive as possible. So the truth, basically.
Yeah. And like preying like, on vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, low income, young people.
Right. And they frame it as though like this is a very specific article that they presented to these kids, but you'd get the same message from sitting inside one of those companies' marketing or sales meetings. Like that's what they do.
Right.
So anyways, after presenting that with them, they gave these kids the ads for some of the products that those companies sell and just told them to make it true by writing like basically graffiti style on top of the ads to like correct some of the misconceptions.
Fucking rebels, dude. do some sick iPad graffiti. Watch me fucking put a mustache on this dude and black out one of his teeth. He's trying to enjoy a burrito.
But yeah, I think we said like translated, like popular ads translated for truth or something like that. But
is what you did at Cracked?
Is what we did at Cracked.
They already did this at Cracked.
Cracked.com. They
already
did this at Cracked. Children, yeah. Motherfucker.
Okay. I believe that's actually Wu-Tang. That's for the children. But Cracked. I guess we'll go with Cracked.
I mean, couldn't you just show them like only like embarrassing cool dads eating fast food? Like a guy with like khakis and like a Bluetooth or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and a fucking phone holster.
Yes.
With khakis, and they're rocking a sock and sandal.
And like a MAGA hat.
Yeah. Or I just do bootcut jeans with sneakers. Basically how Michael Jordan dresses.
Right.
And interchange that with all the different fast food things.
Just get Michael Jordan to endorse McDonald's again.
The man who hates the children.
Right. Well, also he looks ridiculous.
What's interesting about the whole thing though is that like for the boys who underwent this intervention, quote unquote, they said that their daily purchases of unhealthy drinks and snacks in the school cafeteria decreased by 31% compared to the control group, which was just like, yo, keep doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the one interesting thing was that when it came to the adolescent girls who were in the experiment, their purchases were similar regardless of which group they were in. And they're still trying to understand what is sort of the underlying thing, whether it was that the fact that they didn't change meant that neither intervention worked or that both were effective for different reasons.
Mm. Well, so the control group was being presented with traditional health educational material. So it's basically this expose style and graffiti teaching method was effective on the boys, whereas just giving the information to the young women was like enough. They were like, okay, yeah, got it.
Well, right. And that's what the researchers were saying, that they suspect that the traditional stuff was ineffective with the boys, but influences the girls because it mentions calories, which they felt could trigger social pressure to be thin. So they're saying actually the graffiti method might be better. Because we're not trying to be like, oh, like the calories. You got to think about that rather than like, this is poison, young man and young lady.
Right,
you need to fucking wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to get teens to not eat cheap readily available food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a high calorie content because you're like burning. So, you know,
you have 7,
so much energy. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, you're like looking through the couch for change. Like, of course you're going to eat like all that food for $5. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. $5 roundup at Arby's. were you a big fast food eater as a kid?
No. Well, no, not really.
Okay.
Not as a kid. Well, as a kid, but not so much as a teenager.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mostly like ate at home.
Yeah.
And like made food, or my mom made food. But yeah, it was always like a treat. You know what I mean? I mean, it's still like a treat.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when I'm on the road.
I was going to say, like, when you're on the road, like.
Yeah, plus I'm broke. So it's like, it's actually harder to avoid as a comedian than it was as a teenager.
You can't be like, Mom. Yeah, because with my mom being Japanese, like, I think any immigrant kid, your parents are like, I can make that at home.
Yeah.
That old bit where it was not
anything like
that.
You're like, jalapeno
like
poppers, Mom?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm like, really? You're going to make a sourdough jack?
with ranch?
Really? Do you have that weird white sauce at Jack in the Box? I don't know what it is. Right. Definitely has more flavor than mayo, but I don't want to ask.
But I think it seems like what's stepping up to is like sort of the elevated, and I don't have any, I haven't read any studies on this, but just instinctively like the, you know, In-N-Outs or like whatever is like fast food that's cheap, but has like natural and, you know, locally sourced ingredients or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Like that seems to sort of be the next thing that teens are hopping on.
Right. And McDonald's does not know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. Well, and everybody's getting like the veggie burgers now too, like Beyond Burger and Impossible Burger. Like you can get it like fucking Carl's Jr.
Even.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, healthiest fast food restaurant out there.
Hey.
As we learned on the Daily
Zeitgeist. Hey, rest in peace to the Mexi Melt though.
What?
Somebody on Twitter, I'm sorry, I can't remember your handle, kind person, brought this to my attention.
So this is unsourced reporting.
Well, I was shook to my core. I fucking walked to the Taco Bell at my house, and I said, I looked at the menu. It's fucking gone.
Oh,
I
really?
I wonder why.
I couldn't even bring myself to ask. So all I did was ask for a loaded nacho taco and a quesadilla, and I left with my Baja Blast.
You learned that somebody told you this on Twitter, and you just immediately dropped your phone, walked out the door, and walked three miles.
I was like, no, I have to make sure. I'm like, I asked them, like, are you serious? And they said, well, at least for me in X location I live, and I went, it is gone.
So what was the Mexi-Melt?
Mexi-Melt was so simple. It was just a soft tortilla with the ground, quote unquote, beef, cheese, and just tomatoes.
Mm.
It was like not. It was the most low for. Cause I grew up like when like broke. That was the thing that was like less than like that shit used to be 69 cents.
Yeah.
Wow. When I was, you know, when I was a young man.
Yeah, they had 69, 79, 89 cents.
Right, and items. That shit slowly crept up to 79, then 89, then became like a buck 10 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was like a cheap thing that like I could get like four of and not be totally, you know, air out on my wallet.
You can still get that beans, rice, and cheese at Del Taco for 89 cents, though.
The BRC.
But not outside of California, I found out.
The BRC isn't 89 cents?
Yeah, I ordered it somewhere, and it was like $1.25, and I was like, no, thank you. They had already made it.
You called
the
police?
And I was like, no,
yeah,
I won't pay that much.
Just threw it right back at them.
Did you go bold on that?
No.
Yeah, that's where they put fries in it.
Did you guys have fast food available at your school cafeteria?
Right. No, not at all. Well, I went to Christian school.
I went to a Catholic school.
Just one old lady making
everything. Where they had a Chick-fil-A and Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas.
Not at all.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we had prison food in my elementary school.
Right.
This like Lutheran school I used to go to.
Yeah.
And
ours was good, but it was a lot of the same stuff that was basically fast food. Like, we had Frito chili pie a lot.
Oh, shit.
But it's so good.
Yeah, there was a day that was just salad bar day, which was just iceberg and beets and shit. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then there was another one called Chef Salad, where then they would give you ham slices and bacon bits. And I was like, why are you acting like this is two different things?
Trying very hard, yeah.
But I liked the noodles with meatballs. It was the one thing I liked.
The public school I went to middle school in had Taco Bell bean and cheese burritos.
Mm.
That's crazy to me now, thinking back, that they were selling middle school students Taco Bell at right. the school cafeteria.
Oh, we did that in middle school too. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, just the bean and cheese burritos. But you could buy it.
We shouldn't be selling middle school kids fast food, probably.
Right, police.
I feel like someone just like called in sick that day. You know, like someone messed up and they were like, just go order 200 bean burritos and we'll sell these motherfuckers.
I bet it was a high level like decision where somebody sold the fuck out. We had like, we got to monetize these kids.
Right. Yeah. We had a taco day in our cafeteria, but the taco sauce they would give us was Taco Bell taco sauce.
Yeah. Huh. Which was weird. Just stealing
I think they were just fucking pocketing that shit. Every time it was mild sauce, I'm like, why don't we just have Taco Bell?
Right.
Why are we doing like this weird jank ass version? All right, whatever.
Now everybody listening wants Taco Bell. I know. And so do we.
And that's why Taco Bell sponsors this podcast.
They need to. Yum brands. Yum brands if you know it's good for you.
That's right. Briefly, we want to talk about Game of Thrones. Amy, you're a huge fan, I've heard.
Don't care.
You have some interesting fan theories.
Tried to get in a couple times. So many rapes. I just was bored and then horrified and then bored and then horrified. I just ducked.
I like how you mentioned, you said that your boyfriend's trying to start watching, but it's like again. The third time he's tried. Yeah, a lot of people have trouble.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Gave it a second shot and was not in.
Yeah. No, I've just started The Shield, and I highly recommend.
There you go.
It's like Game of Thrones, The Shield. But with cops.
Oh, man, Vic Mackey. That pilot will...
plays by his own rules, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, Vic Mackey.
Wait, a cop?
He's not
who
like
plays
other
by
cops.
His own rules?
Yes.
Yeah, no, a lot of them love rules.
Because the cops are supposed to keep other people's rules.
What
he
happens?
He makes up... Well,
he's
I'm just,
like a Robin
my mind
Hood
is
character.
Racing at the... Like, what if he got to make up his own role?
He does it for good.
A cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got to check this out.
This is uncharted territory, man.
No, but I have heard amazing
LAPD.
Things about The Shield. Real quick, we want to talk about Kit Harington, though, because he had some spicy things to say
fucking
after the premiere of Game of Thrones. He was basically, Miles, it took me a while, but on this headline, you said, Kit Harington to angry Game of Thrones fans, SMDFTB.
Yep, as the Kid Marrow has coined that phrase, suck my dick from the back.
That's right.
Because I don't know how this came up, but this is a quote that he did in Esquire, and he says, how I feel about the show right now is quite defiant. I think no matter what anyone thinks about this season, and I don't mean to sound mean about critics here, but whatever critic spends half an hour writing about this season and makes their negative judgment on it, in my head, they can go fuck themselves. Because I know how much work was put into this. I know how much people cared about this. I know how much pressure people put on themselves. And I know how many sleepless nights working or otherwise people had on this show. Because they cared about it so much. Because they cared about the characters. Because they cared about the story. Because they cared about not letting people down.
I goes love on, it. Defend your art.
Hell yeah. Goes on to say, now if people feel let down by it, I don't give a fuck. Because everyone tried their hardest. That's how I feel. In the end, no one's bigger fans of the show than we are. That's kind of a true statement. And we're kind of doing it for ourselves. That's all we could do, really. And I was just happy we got to the end.
Hmm.
Boom.
He's kind of like the Kevin Durant of Game of Thrones. He's like got a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. While being part of this wildly successful thing, everyone's just like, why are you so mad, man? Yeah. No,
unless that's an indicator that the shit's about to be a letdown.
Right. No, I don't think so.
No.
The cynical part is like, why are you already...
I mean, he gave this interview a month and a half ago, I'm sure, like while they were still in production or still... I'm sure he didn't watch a shitty cut and was like, goo.
Can I actually change my quote? Fuck the fans. They're dumb as fuck anyway. If they were actually good enough, they'd be in the show like me, so I don't want to hear it. Unless you're in the motherfucking show or you're George R. R. Martin, I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
So good on you, Kit. Yeah, defend your art.
Yeah, man. Defend your
honestly,
your cast.
But it doesn't matter. Like, whatever fans say, that's just these are just individual people's opinions. Kit, I hope you had a good time because you gave us some good times.
Yeah.
And everyone's still going to watch it. Everyone who wants to watch it is going to watch it.
Yeah.
And then it'll be over. And it was a big success.
And people
who
are
going
to sob. And then we'll see eventually there'll be entire theme parks devoted to Game of Thrones and all that.
Do you, real quick question about the opening episode of this season. Did it seem like they stopped hiding how short he was in this episode? Because Sansa Stark was towering the fuck over him, like, in every shot. And like, I feel like
you're
in the past,
about Peter Dinklage?
No,
you know
no,
he's
no,
a little
no,
person,
no.
right?
No, Kit Harington is also a little person, and is, but it was a secret. And he plays this hero, and I'd never noticed that he was small until somebody was like, you know, he's like 5'3". And
now he's like 5'7", 5'8".
Okay, 5'7", 5'8".
Because I was in line in the bathroom with him, and I didn't realize it was him until he turned the corner, and I was like, oh, shit.
How did you secretly like get back to back with him?
Because he was standing right in front of me.
Right.
And his head was like below my chin.
Damn.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But you didn't do the back to back thing? You didn't like,
I just like, yo,
sidle up to him at a urinal?
I just do the thing.
Take a picture.
Hand from the top of my head and just like slope down to his. I'm like, yep. Yeah, we're not. No, we're going to have to do something.
Triangulating. But yeah, I wonder
if this person looks like.
Wonder if they were like, well, because he plays this like heroic dude with like flowing hair. And it doesn't necessarily work as well if he's 5'7".
That hair is not a game, though. I saw that shit up close, and as a balding person, I was like, fuck, bro, that shit is tight.
Oh, man.
This shit looks like I'm painted on with grease paint. The curls are so fucking tight in the back. I was like, I wanted to like just feel the power of it.
Yeah.
The follicular power.
Yeah, grab it. Grab people you don't know.
But grab people you don't know by the hair, yeah.
As a new viewer of the show, my wife was like, wow, both Sansa and John are tiny people. Like, you could just tell, like, on the way they shot it. It wasn't like they just were about the same height, which was much smaller than the rest of the
guy. Says Kit Harington is 5'8 and Sophie Turner is 5'9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Royce to 5'9.
One of those is a lie.
I don't think it would be super noticeable if he was 5'8.
Yeah, no, he's smaller than 5'8. Cause your chin is.
Well, I was also going like this. I had my chin way up,
and you're jumping.
Yeah, and then I knocked myself out on the top of his head.
And finally, we just want to tell Felicity Huffman that teardrop tattoo is gonna look good.
Oh yeah,
I can't wait.
When you get that spider web on your elbow, when you come out,
4 to 10 months.
She's doing. Well, that's the rumor. Okay, we don't know for sure, but multiple outlets with the leakers they have in the prosecution. They are pursuing a 4 to 10 month sentence as part of her plea deal. I mean, she's not gonna go to like prison.
She'll go to like Martha Stewart prison.
Yeah. And she'll probably end up meeting someone who will finance her next film in there. You know? All good thing. Everything comes full circle. But part of the deal also includes a $20,000 fine. It's a drop in the bucket. and 12 months of supervised release. And they said it has nothing to do, the lighter sentence has nothing to do with her public apology, which was, and not a bad apology, says, I am in full acceptance of my guilt and with deep regret and shame over what I have done. I am ashamed of the pain I have caused my daughter, my family, my friends, my colleagues, and the educational community. I want to apologize to them, and especially I want to apologize to the students who work hard every day to get into college and to their parents who are broke as fuck and can't afford to bribe testers to improve their daughter's SAT score by 400 points. Maybe you should get your fucking life together, pick yourself up by the bootstraps,
maybe if you
get booked on a TV show, be in some good movies, get your money up, then you can actually skirt the norms and laws like me.
$20,000 is not even a whole semester. Like, can we at least find her what it would cost to go to college? Like, that should be the minimum.
Yeah.
Where is Lori Loughlin at with all
this? Oh, she went in there and she said, Jigga Kelly, not guilty. She said, not guilty. She literally, the quote is, fuck out of here, Your Honor. I'm not guilty. Free Cosby. And she walked out of there.
She's like, I can't believe you can go to jail for this, right?
Yeah. That was her.
She was like,
she's shocked.
Send me to jail.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine not being in touch with the real world where you really thought, I mean, society does show certain people that some people just don't go to jail for anything they do.
No.
And she was like, oh my, I can go to jail for this.
Right.
Like, and now that I didn't take the plea, I could do 20 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. She walked in looking very happy and like she was feeling invincible.
Well, that was a thing a lot of people were criticizing her for. They're like, she looked very smug or just did not understand the severity of what was going on. It looked she looked like she was doing an appearance or like a press tour for Fuller House or some shit.
Right.
And the, you know, people who were talking to Us Weekly or whatever, like, she's an actress and she was in such a state of panic that she could just revert to her showbiz kind of thing of like, smile. Everything's okay.
She's a serious denial.
Actors are supposed to be able to change their emotions based on the circumstances.
Right.
Yeah, but she didn't know she should show remorse.
Right.
Right.
Nobody told her. Yeah, when she gets out, this is going to be a good-ass Hallmark movie.
Oh, right. Hell yeah.
I can't wait. She can play herself, yes. Which, like, nobody ever does since, like, Joan Rivers or whatever.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few missteps with her going into court, like, looking too cocky and smiling. I mean, like, making it rain in the courtroom was not a good move. Did
being
cause
like,
a bit of a...
Sorry, Your Honor, I'm pretty high right now.
She dropped it to the floor for some reason? Yeah. Nobody knows.
She's like, stenographer, can you read that back? Then the defendant bust it open? Interesting. Start to do Dutty Wine. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, it was Turnip City.
All right. Well, Amy, it's been a pleasure having you, as always.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Where can people find you?
On my website, amymillercomedy.com, on Twitter at Amy Miller, and I also have tour dates on my website, and come see me. And I'll be in Austin, I'll be in Portland, Seattle, all kinds of places.
All right. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, and I also want to say, listen to my podcast, Who's Your God, which Miles was on, and he was so great on it. And Jack, honestly, seems reluctant.
No, I'll come on.
He doesn't know who his God is. I'm
wait, who is your God?
Oh, weed.
Oh,
weed and money.
That is not what you said.
No. I'm very spiritual. If you want to get a glimpse into my mind's eye, it was really dope to do.
Because... We heard some good stories about your times in Hollywood.
Oh,
in the
shit,
Hollywood
I forgot about
entourage.
That. Yeah, when I was mobbing it up.
Right. You were kind of a turtle, right?
I was, a bit of a turtle. Bit of a turtle mixed with Johnny
mixed
drama.
Mixed with Johnny drama.
Yeah, like,
drama.
Like broke-ass turtle, basically.
With, like, a light skim of E on the top.
Light skim of E and a few light hits of E.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So this is actually a thread. I thought it was a good thread, not necessarily funny, but my friend Joe McAdam has a thread on Twitter that I did retweet about why we need a comedy Blumhouse, speaking of movies.
Yeah.
Why there's no sort of like studio for just good, solid, you know, low budget, affordably made comedy movies when we have this much talent.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Let's do it.
Joe
done.
It's just Joe McAdam on Twitter.
I just greenlit it, so it's happening.
Perfect.
Awesome. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. One tweet I like is actually from a member of the Zeit Gang who, when we were talking about Chewbacca and trying to figure out how many nipples he had, man, 6-0 at NovaCat9, really hit us with a thread about nipples and Chewbacca. It says, regarding Chewbacca's pecs, the two-litter rule would apply. Take the average litter / sibling birth number and multiply by 2. That's how many nipples an animal typically has. Wookiees are typically born by themselves, 1 per litter. However, there's a possibility if they have vestigial nipples and that they used to have larger litter sizes, evolutionarily speaking, this foray into imaginary biology requires more thought. Human males have vestigial nipples often on the sides of their flanks. They look like moles on the torso below the nipples. Very common. Case in point, there's one of mine. He hits us with the photo of his leftover nipple.
I love it.
Then he said, I had one on the other side, but it was large and my ex-wife insisted that I get it removed.
Ex-wife.
One should never forget that every male starts as a woman in the womb.
So does a female Wookiee produce milk? Wookiee milk?
Got to.
Mammal.
Delicious.
I mean, not really.
Have that with your Wookiee crisp? Put some Wookiee milk.
Wookiee crisp.
Whoa. Was that, what's the thing? The something crunch you can't resist?
I don't know.
It's Wookiee crisp. Anyway, another tweet I like is from Amy Miller. At Amy Miller. A girl in Target got in trouble, and her mom said, okay, no more Happy Meal. And there was a peak Sally Field-level emotional explosion. Tore her hair, rolled on the floor, knocked shit over. Then she got dead quiet, stared solemnly at her mom, and said, let me earn it back.
All true.
And I still don't know how this tweet...
So controversial.
Amy, you and I
check
are going to have words after this recording.
Read the replies.
As
you will
parent,
lose your mind.
I cannot abide that.
Then I replied to myself with just a link to support NARAL.
Right.
Yeah.
Get those abortions because people out there should not be having as many kids as they are based on my replies alone.
Yeesh. Oh, you really did. Doing the Lord's work.
Couple tweets I enjoyed. Joe Quaxala.
He's so funny.
tweeted Sinclair out here reminding us that gas is just dinosaur juice, baby, because Sinclair has that dinosaur as their logo, which is true. I never really thought about that, but that is what that means. Luis at Shine My Shit tweeted, why TF do baby clothes got pockets they don't even own shit?
Which is so true.
And I've literally had that thought as I'm holding one of my kids.
Houseway!
And then Whitney Cummings, a comedian by the name of Whitney Cummings, very love obscure, tweeted, this Notre Dame fire turned into people bragging about their vacations to Paris very quickly.
Yeah.
Which
we knew
I was,
that was
one
coming.
Of those people.
Oh, when were you there?
Oh, I lived there for a while.
Oh, you did?
Ooh.
My tweet was, I wonder how many times this terrible tragedy will lead to me reminding people that I lived in Paris.
Oh, there you go.
And that's about 15 right there.
There you
there
go.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, hot damn. That's pretty cool that you lived in Paris.
Thank you so much. What a tragedy.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
This is from an artist, Arlo Parks, from London. Young artist, I think like 18 or 19, and this track fucking goes, called Cola. So check out Arlo Parks with this track, Cola. Happy
like
hump
Coca?
Day. Oh yeah, like Coca.
All
like
right.
Perico.
We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye!
Thank you, bye.
So take your orchids elsewhere. I loved you to death, but now I don't really care, 'cause you're running around over there. Yeah, you're running around over there, and now I don't really